everybody. My name is Jay Cunay, and this is the Triathlon Age Group Journey. This is a podcast with my two friends, Matt Sommer and Jillian Carlson, where we discuss triathlon from the age grouper's perspective. In our fourth episode today, we're going to talk about our nemesis, the swim. We have a feeling that the swim may be some of the biggest weaknesses for many of you, so we hope to have a little bit of fun and talk through getting wet. Before we do that, though, I want to check in with my two friends, Matt and Jillian. How are you guys doing this week?
Tell you what, I'm getting a little anxiety just hearing that word swim, you know, just a little bit nervous talking about it. Some truths might come out tonight. You know, honestly, it's been a pretty good week. Busy, productive, I like to say. Got my son home. That was nice. I picked him up from college last Friday. So it's let's talk about spending some money on groceries again. I think it's going to be a summer of going to the grocery store every other day. First dinner, second dinner, and it sounds like first snack and second snack every night then for us. But it's nice to have him home. Super proud of him. Another strong semester at UNC Charlotte. Found out today he made Chancellor's List again. So 4.0, straight A's, first semester, second semester. So he's had a well-earned rest week, and he starts up an internship next week, which engineering internship. So I'm super proud of him for that. On a personal level, just training sessions have come back around a little. Started back to running last week. Kind of was smart heading into it. You know last Friday I did a 10-minute run at a nice easy pace. So that felt good. So bumped it up to 15 minutes on Saturday. And Sunday I got a little frisky. I did do 4 miles and then a little bit of elliptical and then another 3 miles. All easy. Everything felt good. And actually, when I say I did a little bit of speed work relative, yesterday I was able to put together a 70-minute run with some 3 10-minute efforts in it. Not what I would normally do, but faster than what I was doing, just the easy zone 2 stuff. So feeling good. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about swimming, but I don't know what it is. Something clicked this week. I can't explain it. Either the pool I'm swimming in is short or the pool I was swimming in was long. I'm not going to argue with either of them. I've been to both of these pools. I've swam in both of these pools multiple times. And yeah, something happened. And, you know, I know Jay and I, Jillian and I were talking about this kind of off the pod. I don't know if it's head position. I don't know if it's psychological. I swear I'm not wearing a wetsuit. I'm swear I'm not wearing fins or doing anything out of the ordinary.
You shaved your legs?
No, actually, I was a little... What's that? No buoy. Jillian knows me too well. She's like naming all the toys because those are my crutches. Man, if I sit them on the deck, I know we'll talk about this, but if I sit them on the deck and they're within arm's reach, oh, I'll grab them. I grab them and it's bad, but no, none of that. So yeah, who knows? But nah, just another week. I hate to say checking boxes, and yeah, I wish I could say something else. So I don't know. Jillian, how about you? What you got going on?
Yeah, it's been good, up and down, tough week for workouts, but feeling good. The run legs had a little snap for Mav shuttles, but then I was really realizing that my fastest 20-second effort was the pace that, if anybody follows the women marathoners, Emma Janelle Bates was talking about, like Des Linden coming up and running 5:30 pace for the marathon, and was like, "All right, let's go." And my 20-second final effort was 5:31. And I was like, in the middle of it, I was like, dear God, I think this is how fast they run the entire marathon. And I'm like holding on for 20 seconds. So it was definitely a moment of like, wow, those women are amazing and incredibly fast. And the thing is, though, when I was running like the easy recoveries, I'm like imagining myself on how they look when they're running their 5:30s, because yeah, they make it just look effortless.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty incredible. But yeah, Either way, I still had fun with the run. So that was good.
It's kind of like the people who swam as a kid, they make it look effortless. Yeah. I think the same with some of these world-class runners have been doing it since elementary and middle school. They just, that was their sport. And man, you're right. It's so beautiful to watch.
It just blows my mind. I mean, even today when I was swimming, it was like my fast 75s, like of the athletes I coach, I'm like four of them, that's their zone two. And it's right. Just like, whoa, you know, like I can dream. I can dream and I'll keep working, but we can dream.
Yeah, I think I did the sprint and I was like, oh, I actually like a 25 or something. I was like, I know what Ness's easy pace feels like. That was pretty incredible. Ness Bowden being a guest that was on the podcast for in the past. One of Matt's athletes that's a mermaid in the water. So
she's a dolphin. Yep.
Indeed. Yeah, just been a week, well, 2 weeks of life, both the ups and the downs and a lot of stress going on. So we didn't record a pod last week. We had to pull the cord on that with some challenges at home. We also have, on top of other things, a big renovation going on in the house. Fortunately, today I came home and saw a huge bit of progress that just kind of brought the spirits up to know that it's all going to be worth it in the end. So training's good. I was thinking that I was going to do Eagle Man in June. And right as I was thinking maybe in the next couple of days, I was going to pull the trigger to sign up. I got the email that it was sold out. So like, all right, one in the cards this year. So probably looking for maybe a quick race sometime in June coming up, but I still haven't signed up for anything. But.
Hey, real quick, need to give you a shout out for getting second overall at your Olympic.
Oh, gosh.
We didn't even really get to talk about that since we didn't record last week, but I mean, tell our listeners about it. I mean, you had quite the milestone run off the bike.
Yeah, that's so funny, Matt. It feels like an eternity ago, but it was a great day. I won't deny that. It's a General Smallwood Olympic down in Southern Maryland is the area that you would call it. It didn't turn out as cold as we talked about. The water temperature was 62. So that was still chilly.
That's very chilly. You
know? And we might talk a little bit later about what we do in those type of cold swims. But you know, the swim was great. It turned out fairly well. I came out in 11th out of the swim. So that's pretty much where I usually would be in a race like that. Not the fastest, but not the slowest. It's a really long run up a sidewalk and then through a parking lot. And I tell you what, my feet were so soft. I felt it was so painful getting to my bike. And it was just cold enough that you weren't numb, but you were cold enough that it was hurting, you know, with the run. Yeah. So that was brutal. And then I jumped on the bike and probably in the first 5 minutes, I caught up with about four guys that were ahead of me. I had a really solid bike. I think it was a second overall bike split, maybe third. I kind of forget where it ended up. I came into transition with two other guys that I knew were probably in the front of the race somewhere. And I thought, okay, well, we're going to run this thing out and see where it goes. My hands were numb. I couldn't get my helmet off. I couldn't squeeze the darn clip. So I lost some time in transition that I otherwise would have been pretty much right there with them. But the run was phenomenal. I've been chasing a sub 40 10K off the bike since I started this sport. It's been absolutely on the top of my mind as a goal of mine. I have been stuck on 40 minutes and a couple seconds so many times. And even this race last year, remember, this was the one I got lost, missed a turn, whatever you want to call it, and blew my chance because I was on track then. But I fortunately was able to kind of repeat the run. I had learned the course, so I kind of knew where to hold back a little bit on two significant climbs for a run. But I also knew where I could let go and run downhill. So that really helped. And sure enough, I ran a 38:40.
Yeah, you smashed it.
10K. And I was pumped. It was a great day and finished second overall, nice. Which was pretty cool. I don't want to brag a little bit, but I was the only 40-something in the top 10.
Nice.
So to be 47 and then see every number in the 30s or the 20s.
Yeah.
I felt pretty proud of being an old guy on the podium there. So that was awesome.
You didn't get somebody come up to you and say, hey, you're pretty fast for your age, did you?
No, I think, you know, you guys know I kind of have a young face. I think people more were looking at like, there's no way that guy's 47.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I got that comment like 2 years ago, like twice in the same season. And I'm just like looking at, I mean, these were these like 18, 17 year olds that are racing out there. And I mean, these are some fast kids, and it's just like, they just don't know how to pace. And that's their worst enemy. And I remember the one coming up to me and he was like, man, you're pretty fast for an older guy. And I'm just like, just stop there, you know, like, it's all good. I get what you're saying, but yeah.
Yeah, totally. I guess give a couple shout outs now that you reminded me of the race. One is Brian Scannell. He finished third right behind me. And Brian and I at so many races have gone back and forth, and he usually catches me on the run. So Brian definitely was in the back of my mind that he might be coming up behind me. So he was a help to push that. Stephanie Van Bieber finished third overall on the women's side. And Stephanie came up to me after the race, listens to the podcast, was really encouraging about what we're doing. And that meant a lot. I think really was really cool that she appreciates the pod. And then last but not least, I haven't talked about it much, but I do have a few athletes that I coach. And one of my athletes got his first podium, finished third in his age group. So Dan Cummings. Dan is a faithful listener as well, and proud of him for getting his first podium. It was a good day overall, a lot of fun.
Well done, coach.
Awesome.
Thanks, man. So
that reminded me though too. I don't believe I've ever had a DNF or even a DNS and did not start. I'm 3 for 3 on DNSs this year, guys. This is really sad. Because I was supposed to do a gravel bike race that weekend, and I just needed to be home with kids and just refocus priorities. So couldn't quite make that trip that weekend to do that one, and missed out on the Boston 5K. Then missed out on the Lake Sammamish half back when I was coming home from India. So yeah, I'm 3 for 3. So this is not really the record I want to be hitting. So hopefully my next three races will be actually not DNSs. So, because those are the big ones, but maybe I'll just get these out of the way.
There you go.
You're going to be hungry and excited to be out there too. Yeah. It's almost like you're
feisty,
fresh. Yeah. Yeah.
Feisty, fresh. Yes.
Feisty, fresh, and fierce.
Yeah.
For sure.
There we go.
All right. What do you think, Matt? What do you got queued up for us on our day when we face our nemesis?
Well, I mean, we're talking about swimming, so I think this one will fall well within that. So here we go. Sometimes the most important thing you can do is just take a deep breath. Hey, I told you it fell with swimming. Now, I always steal the thunder and get to tell my opinion and talk about this. So I'm going to go last tonight. So I want Jay, Jillian, one of you guys dive in there. Tell me what you think about it. But I'll say it again. Sometimes the most important thing you can do is just take a deep breath.
Yeah. I mean, oxygen is good.
Oxygen is great.
I do that quite frequently in training and life as well. So, yep.
I'm thinking swimming. I think back to our episode with Dawn Marie Kane and Matt, you were talking about gasping and gulping for air and it leading to a lot of gas in your stomach.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So for some reason, taking a deep breath, with swimming, not always the best thing to do in the long run. But I totally know what Jillian's saying. I definitely had a lot of moments these last few days where you just got to sit back, take a deep breath, and this too shall pass. Let the world revolve a few more degrees on its axis, and chances are the tides will turn in your favor and be just fine. So
yeah,
it is. Sometimes all you got left is take a deep breath.
I mean, I think these could be the best words ever spoken. Just take a deep breath. I mean, if you think about it, there's nothing it can't help with. It's that slight pause before you speak, the pause before you act, the pause before you make a decision, the pause before you react. Think how many times it's saved embarrassment, or maybe it has saved a relationship, or maybe it saved your job. you know, whether it's racing, I mean, if you think about it, adversity is going to hit. It's not a matter of if, it's when. You get a flat tire, you drop your nutrition, goggles fall off, speed laces break, can't get your helmet off. Rather than freak out and start to have a hissy fit, take a deep breath, relax, address the problem. You know what to do and move forward. And it's like a lot of that's just life in general. I mean, we all get curveballs every day. It sucks. It's life. We're age groupers. We all talk about everything on social is all the what I call Disney World moments. Come on, nobody posts their Walmart moments. Sorry, Walmart.
Some people do. I've seen a few.
They do. But everybody puts up these highlight reels, and it's not the crap. It's not the shit that we deal with, you know? But deep breaths help us digest that and just kind of move on. So, you know, workout's not going as you plan. Take a deep breath, reset, refocus, restart, you know? And that just transfers all the way to life, you know?
All right. Well, why don't we get started talking about the swim? So I guess this week it's my turn to lead the way of our discussion. And I tried to want to make this fun rather than, you know, talking preachy about what makes you swim fast, because I don't think any of us have figured that out yet, right? But let's get real. I got to believe, being that we weren't swimmers as kids, that the first time we went to a pool for a swim workout had to have been, I'll speak for myself, one of the most nerve-wracking moments of my life. But was it as big of a deal for you guys?
100%. Absolutely.
100%?
Yeah. I went in bathing trunks, like swim trunks.
Okay, well, all right. Let's talk about swimwear, because that was exactly where my issue was. You went in trunks.
I did. I mean, again, this is a hard one, and I'm going to get very vulnerable and transparent on this. And Jay, you knew me. I was a very overweight kid in elementary and middle school. I was. And I avoided the pool like crazy. A lot of people that know me now are like, really? No way. No, I was. My mother loves to tell people, and I'm going to throw this out there. She doesn't listen just because she's not tech savvy, but she always jokes, and you know, that Matt was a very round child, He wore the same size pants from middle school through high school. We just wet the hem out of them. And I'm like, Mom, really? You got to tell people that? I mean, I did. I avoided the pool. My name was Matt. What rhymes with Matt? Fat. You know, kids are brutal. I avoided the pool like crazy. And that's probably middle school trauma, you know? And I had wanted nothing to do with being at a pool where my shirt was off, yet less swimming. Now, swim survival? Yeah, absolutely. I could swim, but it was not the place I wanted to hang out with just because of body image. And, you know, still struggle with that. It's just like, I don't know if I should wear that, you know? I can get reassurance from other people, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. But no, I went in swim trunks, and it took a while for me to even go to Jammers. And now I wear like the square cut ones. That's not, definitely not a Speedo. You do not want to see the weenie bikini, but it's one of those things where it's like, or the banana hammock, whatever people call it. You know, but I wear the square cut briefs just because I've got quads, and it's like, it's just more comfortable to me, you know. But I showed up in basically a lot of drag. Let's put it that way. Not like a drag queen, but like drag. Sorry.
Got it.
You know,
yeah. Got it. Yep. Jillian, I'm going to guess that women have as big of a problem with swimwear. You just know it's a suit, or what? Like, talk to us about that.
I would think a lot of women are very self-conscious in swimwear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not as many options in swimwear. It is interesting. I see people swim in two pieces. And I think when I was in Boulder with Hannah and Jenny, we were at a pool, and I feel like I swam because we were just hanging out at the pool, and I just was doing swimming. I can't swim in a bikini. So to anybody that swims in bikinis, kudos to you. But I feel like the water like wants to go down the top and the bottoms. And I don't know. I prefer the one piece when I'm doing a swim set. Maybe I just don't have the right bikinis, but.
So did you have anxiety, nerves? Like, what was your first trip to the pool like?
I did swim lessons as a kid and played in the water around boats and stuff. So, one would think it would be fine, but to actually do a swim workout, I don't know, putting my face in the water. So it was a good thing. I think when I started doing swim workouts, I was using TriDot. So I would show up with a swim written out. And one of the things that they have you do is sink downs, which not going to lie, I still do to this day. Every single swim, I do sink downs. And it just, to get the breath right and just getting the face in the water. I mean, shoot, how many years have I been doing this now? 4 consistently. And I still get into the pool and do these stupid sink downs. But definitely on that first swim, I needed it. And then it was spend most of the time trying to read and figure out what the heck I was supposed to do. And am I doing it right as you're flopping all over the place and, you know, you don't have that body position potentially. And you're like, okay, who's judging me? And hopefully nobody's watching this. Yeah, it was a lot of anxiety.
Well, I think the sink downs is a great tip, by the way, for anyone struggling with the breathing. I think it does a great job of opening your lungs too, and you don't feel so gasped on your first lap. And
yeah,
there's a lot of value to those. So they're not stupid.
Okay, good. Well, you know, on a Facebook page, you see a lot of people that say how dumb they are. They skip them every time. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm sitting over here in the back going, I do them every time. So no comment.
Well, I'll go back to the swim trunks. I mean, Matt, we all grew up where, you know, they were with the jams,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You were judged by how long your swim trunks were, like yeah. Down to the knee. Anything higher than that, you were wearing a Speedo, according yeah. to teenage boys.
Yeah.
So to go to the pool, you know, after just signing up for a gym membership that I hadn't walked into a gym in years at that point, and then put on a jammer, not jams, but a jammer. Yeah. I was so self-conscious. Yeah. It was absolutely that.
Guys, for the ladies, what the heck is a jammer? All I'm imagining are my kids walking around in their jammies. So you're going to have to clarify this because there might be some listening that's like, what is a jammer?
It's the skin tight, long swimsuit down maybe just above the knees.
Like tri shorts?
Kind of like tri shorts. Yeah. Or bike shorts. Yes.
A little
yes.
bit longer though. They really do go all the way down to the top of your knee. Yeah. And what I was talking about, like it's more like boxer brief ones. It's more like square cut, boy cut. They call it boy cut or square cut. Like a Speedo's like tighty whities, like just wearing a pair of underwear briefs.
A little more upper thigh showing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas the square cut ones are kind of like, you know, maybe like a 4-inch inseam, if that, or 3-inch inseam, you know?
It's funny though, Matt, you say that, oh, you wouldn't be caught dead in a Speedo. And all I can say is think about all the ladies where, guess what? For the most part, that's our only option.
I know.
Is to wear either bikini bottoms or just the bottom of the yeah. swimsuit is cut like a Speedo. So, yeah. Kudos to the ladies. You're
absolutely.
Pretty brave.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, clearly. It is still one of those discrepancies that just doesn't yeah. add up. And, you know, you listen to professional triathlon podcasts, that it's Speedo all the way. Like, there's no question that you don't wear jammers. Those are Loserville, you know. But I know my whole Masters men, the men at Masters, we're all in jammers.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, I'll take the ridicule yeah. if I show up and no one says, oh, that's a triathlete, not a real swimmer.
Yeah.
All right. So continuing on the indoor swims and maybe sharing lanes, what about swim etiquette? Any mistakes that maybe with sharing a lane that you've had that you have some bruises to show for it from?
I don't have any bruises. I mean, I've definitely clipped the knuckles on the dividers. So that's
yes.
really fun.
I still do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I tend to not have to share. And then if I do, there'll be people that will say, I know there's some pools where you're literally sharing with 4 or 5 people. You're always having to circle swim. I'm not a fan of circle swimming. So if I ever have to share, I usually will be like, are you okay if I just stay to the left and you stay to the right? And usually they're okay with that because I'm not swimming at like competition pools and super packed pools. But yeah, clip some knuckles. And if I do end up having to share, I always try to, first of all, say, like, be open to it. So if I see somebody wandering the deck, hey, you can swim in my lane. We're triathletes, right? So an opportunity to actually have to swim with someone in your lane is not a bad thing. And so in those moments, I will know that I'll have other times where I can swim solo and focus on the workout. But hey, actually, this is a good opportunity for me to get used to swimming with someone next to me. And, you know, if I clip them, I apologize. I'll apologize in advance. And I tell them, if you clip me for some reason, don't worry about it. I need to get used to this anyway. So I try to turn it into an opportunity. And then they're always like, oh, thank you for sharing the lane. I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, don't apologize. This works out. It's okay. So
Yeah. I'm pretty fortunate that where I swim, I can be selective in going when it's downtime. So I don't have to share a lane. I think I've shared a lane with Jillian before. And I mean, you know, it's fine. I mean, she's also significantly smaller than me. So I can't imagine what my wake does to her. I mean, you know, her wake definitely pushed me, but I can only imagine what mine did to her. I think the biggest things that I've done, obviously knuckled the lap lane. Ugh, we've all been there. Man, how many times have you jammed a finger on the wall? Oh, my God. It's the worst. And then, you know, just also getting out of the pool. It's like I try to hop out and it's like you skin a toe. And I mean, yeah, people are probably laughing at me, but it's like for the longest time, it was like I kept jumping out, swinging my right foot up. And I kept wondering, like, what am I doing to my toe? Like, why is my toe hurt? I'll get home and it has like this cut across it. And then I finally realized every time I swung that foot up out of the pool, I was scraping it up the wall. Yeah, I mean, just really the etiquette piece, I think, is big, though. I'm the same way as Jillian. It's like if somebody does need to get in, I'm like, yeah, you can swim with me. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, sometimes the people that are standing there, they recognize, and I think it's important, too, when I'm pulling up and I do need to choose, I try to look for somebody of comparable ability. I think that's an important thing to recognize is I'm not going to go jump in the fast lane. It's not fair to them. It is not fair to them because I'm going to be slowing them down. So I try to find somebody either A, we're comparable, or I try to get in my own lane because I think that's important to at least kind of be in a similar rhythm to where you're not swimming over the person and you're not constantly making them, I hate to say feel threatened, but just feel like they're kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like in the way, if you will, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Yeah. A little story here was in San Diego last year. So swimming in a pool that I've never swam in before, it was a recommendation from my coach to swim there. And so I got there and I saw a master's team actually finishing up. I thought, oh, good timing. The pool is going to be free. I jump in a lane. I start swimming, doing my basically entire set. And near the second half of the set, three women were in the middle lane next to me aqua jogging, and I didn't think anything of it, but I started kind of noticing, you know, when I'm looking at the clock waiting for my interval, I'm getting dirty looks from these women, like maybe I'm in the wrong lane or something like that. And I was like, well, I'm almost done, I'm just gonna finish this set. I think I had 50, like a 50 cool down or something. And one of them came over and said, are you almost finished? And I said, yeah, just 50 more. And I got out. So I went over to the lifeguard and just said, hey, is there lane assignments that I totally missed here or anything? He's like, no, those ladies just always like to do their running in the lane you were swimming in. And I'm like, ah, okay. So really the moral of that story is when you go to a pool you're not familiar with, just ask the lifeguard, is there any etiquette or any, you know, lane assignments or something? Sometimes they could say, hey, those ladies over there, they're getting ready to start. If you want to do the middle lane, they like to do, you know, they might give you that tip so you can avoid that type of stranger danger attitude type thing.
Matt, that reminds me of your pool. When we went to swim, you were like, I was like, I'll just share with her. He's like, no, you don't want to share with her. She likes the lane all to herself. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's so funny you bring up the water aerobic stuff because I've heard so many people, even the pools that I swim at, it's like the lap swimming is from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. And so I'm swimming at 10. I have a full hour. Well, at 10:45, All of a sudden, it's like these sharks start coming in and they start tightening up, you know, because they want to take that lap lane out so they can start their water aerobics. And I'm like, I've got 10 more minutes. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but the advertised hours, and I get these dirty looks, and it's like, either tell me I got to be out by 10:45 or tell them their class starts at 11:15. Like, you know, yeah. Like, it's just communication. But yeah, it's funny. What are aerobics? There seemed to be a conflict all over the U.S. Yeah. So
definitely, definitely. Let's talk about goggles. First of all, how many pairs of goggles do you think you have in your swim bag versus how many pairs of goggles do you think you've gone through in your time swimming overall?
I'm laughing real hard right now because right now, probably in my bag, I probably have 6 or 7 pairs right now.
Okay.
I have jumped all over the place. And I'm going to be very honest. You know those Aquasphere swim masks?
Oh, yeah.
Like yeah. That are a little, like, I think they called it the seal mask. It's not like a scuba diving one, but it's much bigger. That's what I first started swimming in because I just didn't like the way the goggles felt. Like, I really swam in that, like, that seal mask because it felt like it covered up my nose a little bit more and it was just like much more comfortable. And right now I'm on I've jumped on the Magic 5 bandwagon. So I'm swimming in those. It took me a while to really warm up to them. The goggles I love that I was swimming in, they're just not available in the US anymore. And I think I've bought everything off eBay over the years and can't get them. Oh God, my mind just went completely blank.
Zogs.
Yes. Yeah. They're a European brand. I think you can still get them in Australia. I've even gone as far as like Ness when she was over in Australia. I'm like, you think you can pick some up
She's
and bring
in
them
New
back?
Zealand right now. We need to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. So Zogs were my jam. I loved them. They were great. Photochromatic. I mean, just really good.
Yeah. Matt got me hooked on the Zogs and I really liked those. And then I followed his little wetsuit takeoff tip of tuck your goggles and your swim cap into your sleeve as you take it off so you don't lose it. Well, then you forget it's in your sleeve and it gets stepped on and breaks your goggles. So I don't follow that wetsuit tip from him anymore. And I rest in peace to my last pair of Zogs.
Oh.
So unfortunately I don't have any more. So I'm also on the Magic 5 bandwagon. And you know, it's interesting. I probably just need to call Magic 5 and get 2 pairs replaced now. Like one, the nose stem just like separated or broke, or there was one little thing that cracked on it. And so now it doesn't stay together. And the pair that I'm in right now are super, I mean, foggy, but I just swim with them anyway. I've tried the Rokas. I don't know. Once you go from that harder rubber to some of the softer rubber on the eye sockets, it's really hard to go back. And so I've heard a lot of people love some of the Rokas, but I can't do them. I won 2 pairs during COVID when Ironman did the online like racing competition thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I won 2 pairs of Roka goggles, which is, I was super excited for, but they are not comfortable to me. So they still sit in a box in my closet.
I tried them
are
all.
Are they the R1s?
Yeah. Do you like them? Do you want them?
I do. Maybe. We'll There's make a 2. Deal after this.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll shoot you a message of which ones they are, but they're nice. Yours if you want them. So.
Okay. Sweet. Wow. I didn't expect that when I brought up this question. Wait, all right, you didn't answer. How many are in your bag right now?
Honestly, I'm being a little bit, what is the word? Hold on. What's the word where you're being like risky?
Risky.
Risky. Taking a risk. Like you're taking a risk.
That sounds good to me.
Ambitious.
You can cut this out. So honestly, I'm a little bit of a rest taker right now because I only have 1 pair in my swim bag.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So I know this is like, we got to be careful because what if something snaps or it breaks?
Yeah.
Normally I do have 2, but I, for the last start this year, I've been swimming just with 1 pair.
Wow. No, okay. I've got Zone 3s. I've got Tears. I've got Aquaspheres. I've got Zogs, Magic 5s. I'm
you
sure
still
somewhere.
Have Zogs?
Yeah, I'll bring them. Don't worry. I got you.
Okay.
And then I'll take care of you. And then I also have probably a pair of Speedos in there, like Vanquishers. I bet you wear these. Do you wear Socket Rockets?
No, but you just said my secret weapon is the Vanquisher.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Magic Five, and Jillian definitely called them. I'm going to do my best to keep this nice, but I've been very disappointed with the money you pay for them, and they have not lasted for me. You know, 3D printed or you know, measured to your face type thing, but the gasketing on every pair I've ever had tears within three swims. And oh, wow. It's something with the depth of my eye socket and how it fits. It just always tears. I do keep a pair that I only use for races because they have the best optics in terms of being able to see. I will tell you, they're better than the Roka R1 in my opinion. But I also like the Roka R1s. They have a nice big wide open view for open water swimming. But the Speedo Vanquisher, $12, and they last freaking forever. They are bomb-proof goggles, and yeah, they suck the hell out of your eyes. you got the biggest raccoon eyes, but what? You throw them in a swim bag, you don't worry about them. They still work. Worst case, the nose piece breaks, and guess what? They give you three more. You just snap a new one in, and they're just as good as new, where all these $90 goggles have solid nose pieces. And once they tear, they're gone. And guess what? Yeah. You got to buy another pair. Oh, drives me nuts for such a simple thing that we need every day.
Nearly every day. Are you on the bandwagon? And I know a lot of people do this. I hear this frequently, that buy a new pair of goggles for every race. Have you heard people do that?
No way.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Like, and it's like the Vanquishers. I mean, they're like $12 or $25. They're like new pair of goggles for every race. And I'm just like, okay, not good for you.
Not needed. No. Yeah. I've been using Spit. It's called Spit. And you buy it. It's basically like shampoo or Windex probably. Right. But you spray it right in, rinse it out, and your anti-fog is renewed. And you do it once a week. You're set. And
really? Once a week?
Never need a new.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, some people do it every day they swim.
I just use my spit.
Or your real spit. Yeah, no, that worked.
Zog's even had this spray.
They had extra.
Yeah, and I loved it. Yeah. I mean, I still have some of it, and it worked phenomenal. I mean, you hear everything. People are like Johnson's baby shampoo.
The hand soap at the sink that squirts out. You know, I just put it under there, rub it in, and rinse it out, and good to go.
Interesting.
So, it all works.
Learn something new every day.
$100.
Yeah.
What about Form? I know those are all the rave right now. And Matt, I know you gave me a pair of your old Forms, but I have not used them in all honesty.
I haven't used.
Yeah.
Okay. When I tried them on.
Did you like it?
The goggle itself was not that comfortable for me. And that was kind of part of my problem was the data analytics, everything it had to offer. Wow, what a great option. And again, I'm probably not the best person on this because I'm not the best swimmer head position wise. I had a hard time with the metrics in the eye. I felt dizzy. Like it definitely kind of felt like I was getting a headache because maybe it was my eyes. Maybe I knew it was squinting to see it, but it didn't really work for me. And then the cherry on top was for me, the goggle itself just was not comfortable, you know? So if it's not comfortable, I'm not going to use it. It doesn't matter how valuable the tool is. If I'm uncomfortable, I don't want it on. But just because they didn't work for me doesn't mean they don't work for other people. Many of athletes I coach love them. They think it's one of the best things in the world. I think they've been updating firmware on them so that, you know, you get a little bit more real time feedback. Cause I think originally it was only on the 50. Would you get your average time? I think now they're doing it on the 25, or maybe I'm incorrect. I just didn't use them correctly.
Yeah, I've never used them. Not interested, to be honest.
Yeah. But,
I get it. I mean, I love data just like everybody else. So I totally understand. And their subscription plan and the videos that they give to help.
Right.
And in fact, I've taken them off YouTube to use because they do have some good instructional video and content.
And I think it's really good. I think they're legal now for racing.
I did see a guy using it the other day at the race.
Yeah, they are legal. Yeah, and they just came out with a swim straight function too that helps you with your sighting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sighting then. That's a good segue. Just rolled right into that one.
Yeah.
So how often do you cite? Are you guys have a rhythm? Do you have a number of strokes? Do you just do it when you feel like you should?
I mean, I'm in a bad position because we don't have open water where I live that I can get into swim.
Well, when you race.
When I race. Yes. Oh, yeah. But I practice it in my lap lane. I will do, as part of my drills, I'll do citing drills where I'll do a 25 and cite every third to fifth stroke and just really work on trying to elevate the head and just work on different techniques while maintaining my stroke. As far as outside is concerned, there are many different ways, you know, that I like to do it, but I will, I'll sight frequently. I try to pick a landmark that's in line with the buoy, not just the buoy itself, because if I'm swimming towards that landmark, I know I'm heading in the general direction, which is good. I do like to also find a person that I'm next to and kind of use them as well to help me make sure that I'm staying like on target. Because if I feel them drifting across, that's a sign for me to, hey, sight real quick. Am I going crooked or are they going crooked? You know what I mean? I'll tell you, Placid was amazing. You had the cable on the ground. You didn't have to sight once, which was awesome, you know?
But, you had to fight for it, though.
Yeah, yes.
If you stayed on the cable, it got crowded.
But I definitely sight farther in front of me when I look up and try to find that landmark to make sure I'm going in the proper direction. But again, it's something you practice in the pool. You got to practice that kind of coming up out of the water, getting the shoulders up, the head up, and just getting your eyes up enough so that you don't take water in. And same thing.
Yeah. Jalen, what about you with sighting? Is it a routine of number of strokes, or are you pretty freewheeling and go with when you feel like you need to?
Yeah, I don't count strokes. When I sight, it's just when I need to. And I'll use in the pool sometimes like the cool down, or if it's like 250 choice, I'll take, you know, 25 yards of that or and throw in just some sights at the end, since you're just in cool down anyway, might as well practice that. The tip that I was taught in your sighting is use alligator eyes. So be thinking of like you're just an alligator and your eyes are just gonna just pop over the water. So Becca Kawoka out here gave me that tip when I was practicing open water with her. So yeah, so I always try to imagine little alligator eyes.
I like that one.
Yeah,
that's definitely a good image. I think another tip that has really helped me is after your sight, visualize what you saw. And then when you are ready to look your next time, it always amazes me the sight is the same. And it's kind of like your mind and your body connect on a line, and it actually helps you to swim straight. I didn't believe it until I really tried it. So it's one of those you got to kind of get a feel for, but visualizing what you looked at while you're swimming and then look up again, and then hopefully it's the same view, and that way you know you're in the same line. So
yeah.
And then of course I sight differently if the water's rough. If it's if it's really rough, you do need to think about sighting a little more frequently, because you're going to get knocked off your line a lot quicker. And then of course remember too, you can get help swimming by drafting someone. It's not always about sighting your line, but maybe sighting the next person you might be able to saddle into and get, maybe you're catching up to them, but you at least get behind them in line with them and get a couple extra strokes with a little less effort as you go. So there's another thing that I've been thinking about more about the swim to try to eke out a few more seconds.
Throw one more thing and we're gonna take a step backwards. We were talking about goggles.
Yeah.
Goggle selection on race day for sighting. I mean, you really got to be mindful of that. Is, you know, you may love these Magic Fives, you may love the Vanquishers, but one tip I always talk about with athletes is, you know, be there, try to be there the day in advance, get out there at the swim start, make note of where the sun is. If you're a unilateral breather and you only breathe to the right and that sun's coming up on the right, you might want to go with tinted goggles for that day. If the sun's straight on, you need to be aware of that too. So goggle selection, if it's a foggy day and it's murky water, you may want clear goggles. So there is a reason. People may have laughed when I said 7-8 pairs. You got to be comfortable. You got to be versatile in different ones, because you don't know what gear selection you're going to need. Just like you might swap out a cassette on the bike, depending on the course, or you may go to a disc or a shallow carbon wheel. You might need to swap out your goggles on race day. So you do need to be able to swim and whether it's tinted, clear, what's the word I'm looking for? They have like an amber lens, unless they're all the same brand. It doesn't hurt to have multiples.
Yeah, definitely. All right. How about a couple quick hit questions and the mix between open water and indoor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's first start with what your favorite pool toy is. Jillian?
Mine's actually a snorkel.
Snorkel. Oh, you're one of those.
Wow. That's like drowning yourself.
I feel so claustrophobic. I know. My goodness.
And that's the point. You get comfortable exactly. in that. And then the snorkel's gone and you are very much more comfortable with that face in the water.
I want air. I want breath. Lots of breath. Lots
that's
of
why you should do the snorkel.
I know.
Okay.
There you go. All right, Matt. So clearly that's not your favorite.
Oh, hell no. Definitely not. Pool buoy. Hands down.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Pool buoy. It raises my butt up, gets my ass out of the water, and I can just swim. It's amazing. I'm so much faster with a buoy. I mean, it takes me from this to this, and it's like, all right.
If I get buoy, I know someone's punishing me. So that thing stays in the bag unless I have to bring it out.
Nah, that's like training wheels for me. I love it.
Yeah.
Jay?
That's great. It wasn't initially my favorite toy, but I definitely love paddles. Yeah. So I guess we all have a unique one.
Yeah.
My coach is pretty creative with paddles and some of the drills and sometimes they're not on my hands. She has a drill called paddle head, which you got to put the paddle on your forehead and try to swim and hold it there.
Oh, wow.
Which does two things. It forces your head basically to stay very still and may really get your rotation going. So it does create quite a feel and works on head position. So there's a tip. We do a lot of one paddle swimming, which is also another interesting thing where the trick is actually your non-paddle hand to pull as much water as you're pulling with the paddle hand. So it really forces you to focus on the non-paddle hand to really get a good pull and try to even out. Because otherwise, what do? You're going to turn in a certain direction with the stronger paddle. So it is actually a really interesting feeling when you do that. So that's another cool one to try. But otherwise, pull and paddles, recovery type swims. I love those. Those nice. Are just, you just, I don't feel good. Okay. Those were too long. We have to be doing these faster. I think we've done this one before, but for the sake of our listeners, flip turns or open turns?
Open.
Yeah.
Open.
I get dizzy trying flip, so it's open.
Open all day.
I'm a flipper. Okay. How about on open water swim, two swim caps or one?
Only one depends. Because they make me.
What do you mean they make you?
In racing, you have to wear a swim cap. Look at me.
Oh, you mean you wouldn't wear one at all?
I wouldn't wear one at all.
The question was, did I say
you one said or one zero? Or two?
One or two.
One or two, man.
Yeah, one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wear one at all if they didn't make me. So, of course, one. Yeah.
All right. Coeur d'Alene, St. George, and Escape from Alcatraz. Two double cap for sure. Hands down, I am not afraid to double cap if it's cold.
If it's cold, I'm totally with you. It definitely helps keep the noggin warm and helps keep away the flutter of your brain when you hit the cold water.
But I'm an earplugs person too. So, I.
Oh, you do wear earplugs.
Even in racing, I do. Yep.
All right.
I don't like having the cap over my ears. My ears have to be open. Yeah.
It has to be over my ears. I can't stand the water getting in my ears.
Yep. I love this. No. We're getting such different answers. This is exactly what
I
hope
you
for.
On the, do you like water in the ears?
You know, it doesn't bother me while swimming, but I always notice when I stop swimming, I end up pulling it off and let it drain out.
No.
So I guess it doesn't bother me, but I definitely drain my ears while I'm swimming a set. I don't know.
I actually got a headache one day. I forgot my earplugs. I had left them in my backpack when I had been traveling. And I tried really hard to not focus on it. Messes me up.
It messes me up to hear myself breathe. That's what drives me nuts about having earplugs in. Uh-huh. I feel like I can hear myself breathing. It's, Anyway, okay. All right. How about goggle straps? Are they under or over your cap?
Over.
Okay. I'm over with one cap, under with two caps. So meaning put the first cap on, put on my goggles, then put the second cap over it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But with one cap, I just put it on normally. Yeah. All right.
I have a quick one. How do you enter the pool? Do you just dive in and get going, or do you ease yourself slowly into the water?
I just jump in.
I'm a mix of both.
What?
Well, I jump in and then put on my cap and my goggles, and then I swim.
Okay.
So I'm not a jump in and go, but I'm also jump in and before I start. So I don't know if that's easing in either, but no,
I do goggles on the dock, on the deck, and then I just jump in, turn around, make sure everything's set, and then off you go.
Yeah, I'm a
Jillian. What do you do?
Yeah, jumping in's not easing in. I'm a true legit ease in, like toes, feet, ease the rest of the body in, do my sink downs, and then go. But I watch the videos of the pros, right? And they like dive in and go. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you guys did.
Okay.
Next.
Let's see. Next. All right. We mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I think this is probably not talked about a lot and, you know, is maybe one of the gross things of swimming. But clearly there are days where your nose runs when you swim. So number one, allergy or sensitivity to chlorine. I definitely have problems with that. We have a chlorinated pool, and the entire day after swimming, my nose is running like crazy because it's so irritated from the chlorine. So unfortunately, that nose running, it happens in the pool, folks.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? So it's kind of gross. Yeah. But that's the chlorine doing its job, killing everything. I hope.
I don't have that problem.
You don't have that?
Yeah.
Is it a chlorinated pool or saltwater pool? Okay.
Chlorinated. I'll get a phlegm buildup. And so late into sessions, it'll be hard to breathe because I'll feel that phlegm in the back of my throat. But
yeah.
No, yeah. Otherwise, no runny nose.
Mine's not too bad in the water. Like afterwards, I will get the sneezes and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and God forbid I get water up my nose during a flip turn for some reason. Like I didn't breathe out properly. Oh,
that's why I don't flip.
That's why I don't do it either.
Compounds it more.
I like oxygen.
There you go. All right. Now, the other teaser of what we said earlier was about bloating and maybe being gassy after you swim. I think that's a real indicator that the breathing may not be on par with what you might be able to do, right? And you're swallowing a lot of air and that air has nowhere else to go if you don't burp it out. So
yeah.
Real problem for you?
Have never.
Never.
Matt has this all the time.
Because you are doing the sink downs. You're doing the sink downs. You're doing it right.
I thought she was going to say something else. I thought she was going to say something else.
No, he talks about it all the time and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Bloat, gas, she gets gassy at the pool. But Jay, when you put this on the list, I was like, oh, maybe it's not just Matt.
I think it's worth talking. I've seen it on a lot of places afterwards.
And again, on race day, I've gotten out, and I will say this on race day, after doing the swim, like I will get done and I feel like I got all this air in my stomach. And I know this is gross, I'm going to say it, but it's like for about the first 10, 15 miles on the bike, I don't know what word to use here. It's like you'll have gas. And it's like you just got to kind of let up and get it out because being down in that position, it's got nowhere else to go and it's uncomfortable and your stomach just feels bloated and descended. And maybe I'm breathing incorrectly or improperly, but I mean, I've gotten out of the pool after some hard like zone 4, zone 5 work and I can look down and it's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Because my stomach's descended. And I mean, even last night, my son's not here. It's like, he's laughing at me because I'm like, oh, sorry, excuse me. And it's just like, yeah, I swam today. You know, it's like, it's got to come out at some point, you know, but
yeah, no, I'll echo the hard sets. I don't have too much of a problem in a race, but any hard set, and especially if we're doing IM with butterfly and other things where I'm still really learning that stroke. So, you know, I'm, you know,
yeah,
doing that type of thing. And it definitely goes down the wrong pipe. And the first couple hours after the swim is musical.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Nope.
All right. Well, I hope maybe we helped some people, you know, think about it. It happens, folks. It happens. Okay. We've got like 15 more things, but we don't have time for all of them.
Yeah.
I am curious, though, water your bottle on the swim deck. I hope you stay hydrated when you swim. No, Matt, you're shaking your head.
I honestly don't. Okay. You know, I usually try to go in.
Never had issues with cramp, like a calf cramp?
I'll go in well hydrated. I usually try to make sure that before I swim. The swim is usually I usually can't go to the pool first thing in the morning. So it's going to be my second workout of the day typically. And throughout the day, I make sure I stay hydrated. I make sure I get electrolytes in during the day. So I've been pretty good about that, just being proactive to make sure I'm going in hydrated with electrolytes.
Yeah. Okay. Jillian, do you have a bottle on deck?
I do. Yeah. Just water though. So maybe if I did more Ironman longer swims, I would add something to it, but nope, just water.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm normally just water, but if we've talked before how Wednesdays I usually have a quality run and then go swim. So I'll put electrolytes in, or if I'm doing strength work after the pool, I may have a little bit of nutrition in there too, just to keep me going for that strength workout.
But I also don't swim fasted. So I know that's a lot of people that swim in the morning.
Oh, right.
Swim fasted. I don't always take a Clif Z bar. It's like Clif Kids Z bar. And I'll always have that on the drive to the pool.
Yeah. I think that's a good tip because swimming's not great fasted, especially if you're doing intervals or anything of high threshold. Maybe an aerobic swim's fine, right, but I don't think it'd be good to do intense work in the pool. Okay, let's wrap up with what I think is truly triathletes and adult onset swimmers' nemesis with swimming, kicking.
Yeah.
How's your kicking?
Terrible.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's hard. I mean,
is there any other part of triathlon training where your legs burn as bad as if you did like a 50 hard kick?
No.
I don't think so. No.
Why is that?
It's just that lactic
acid. How is
it
you can do a 20 FTP test, 20-minute FTP, your legs are screaming on the bike, but it's nothing like a 50-meter kick.
It's the resistance of the water.
50-meter hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I do swim with a couple former collegiate swimmers, and I watch them. They can nearly kick as fast as I'm doing free, and I don't get it.
I kind of sometimes
I have to put fins on just to do kick sets at Masters with them because I can't keep up.
I sometimes go backwards when I kick. Like if I'm doing kick sets, there are times I'm in there and I'm just like kicking and I'm like, why am I going backwards? Like seriously. And it's like, it's
it's demoralizing as an adult learn to swim swimmer.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted our listeners to commiserate with our misery and kicking while we swim. But, you know, stick with it. It's not going to be, it's not horrible. It does serve a value.
It eventually becomes bearable and maybe even enjoyable. I can attest.
Yes.
I will be honest. It's probably been the weakest discipline in my arsenal. But it has been probably the one that I've learned to enjoy the most from a therapeutic perspective.
Amen.
Like the water totally is so nice on the body. I do look forward to it. I joke. If for those that follow me on Strava, I most of my swims are named how to drown A. And then I just pick a random animal emoji out of the iPhone emojis and I just put it on there. Because people all laugh at it and they're like, you're killing me. And I'm just like, I just try to have humor and fun with it, you know? For me, it is such a nice thing to put the head in the water. It's one of the few times during the day that I'm not actually talking to somebody one-on-one. So it's like I can just have me and my thoughts. But yeah, I mean, it's a constant struggle. I feel like I'm always working. You know, I've expressed to Jillian, it's like sometimes you just feel so defeated. You're putting all this time and energy into it. And it's like, oh, you know, and it's like, I tell myself, it's like, why am I bothering if I'm not getting results? And I'm like, because I could be regressing if I'm not putting the time and energy in. So it's like, may not be at the speed or pace that I want it to be at, but progress, you know?
Yeah.
You got to show up if you want to see change.
Jillian, do you have any last thoughts on swim and what it means to you now?
No, I agree with you guys that it's taken a long time, years, to get to the point, but I do enjoy going to the pool now. So yeah. keep with it, stick with it. It takes showing up on those mornings you don't want to wake up and go to the pool. Things will slowly click. It will not be overnight. It may be overnight if you're lucky, but if you're not, don't worry, you're not alone. And it might take time for you to actually get to the point where you enjoy it. And it might take years. So patience. But yeah.
I also believe if you stick with swimming, you work on your swim fitness, it may not be fast, but if you can get out of the water fresher, you'll be a better biker and a better runner on race day. And people who quit on swimming and say, oh, I'll just do the minimal, they're actually hurting their race opportunity, because the better fitness you get, you'll do better in those other two disciplines. So that's something to hopefully encourage people to if you want that PR, start with your swim. I think it really matters. Even though you may not change your time, change your body's ability to recover from the swim jumping on the bike.
I know we've had a few dolphins on the pod. I mean, between Dawn Marie, Brett Collins, Ness Bowden. I mean, yeah, I mean, the three of them, you guys are inspirations. You know, I promise you, there are days I look at your swims, all of y'all, and I'm just like, good Lord, one day, like, you know, when I'm like, my fast is like a 124, and I'm like, wow, like, that's their zone two. Like, that's even slower than their zone two. And it's,
zone one.
Right. Yeah. That's their recovery from recovery.
They're floating on their back going down the lane.
It's inspiring. So, you know, I love it. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see. And it gives me something to chase. So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this has been awesome. Super fun to hear what your first swim was like and all the gear and just how different actually we are. So I think hopefully our listeners can relate to one of us, if not maybe all of us on certain topics. But there's no right way. There's no wrong way to do the swim. I think what's most important we learned is just get out there, show up, and get in the water. And as fast or as slow as you need to, one day at a time. So if any of our listeners have any tips, you're welcome actually to share them with us, because we are knowledge seekers and we are always looking for other tips for the water. So if you are experienced, hit us up in a DM or shoot us an email. You can find us on Instagram at Triathlon Age Group Journey, or you can shoot us an email at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. So we look forward to hearing from you guys, and thanks for listening. We'll catch up next week, guys.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great week. Train smart.